great gathering of monks and a great assembly of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One was absorbed in the samadhi of the many aspects of phenomena called profound appearance. At the same time, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, looking at the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom, saw the five skandhas and their natural emptiness. And through the power of the Buddha, Venerable Shariputra said to the Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son of a lineage trained who wishes to follow the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom? Thus he spoke, and the Noble Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, answered the Venerable Shariputra with these words. Shariputra, those men and women of the lineage who wish to follow the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom should look at it like this. The five skandhas should be seen purely in their natural emptiness. The form is empty. Emptiness is form. Emptiness is not other than form. Form also is not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, recognition, compositional factors, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, like this, all phenomena are emptiness, and having no characteristics, they are unborn and unceasing. They are not impure or pure. They neither decrease nor increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no recognition, no compositional factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no sensation, no phenomena. There is no quality of sight and so on until no quality of mind and no quality of mental consciousness. There is no ignorance and no exhaustion of ignorance, and so on up to no old age and death and no exhaustion of old age and death. In the same way, there is no suffering, no origin, no ending, and no path. No wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since there is no attainment, the bodhisattvas rely on and abide by means of the profound perfection of wisdom. And since their minds have no obscurations, they have no fear. Transcending falsity, they attain nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in the three times have relied upon the perfection of wisdom and have become true and complete Buddhas of unsurpassable, perfect, and complete enlightenment. Therefore, the mantra of the profound perfection of wisdom, the mantra of insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra which calms all suffering should be known as truth, for it is not deceptive. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is proclaimed. Teyata om gate gate paragate parasam gate bodhi soha. Shariputra, this is how a bodhisattva mahasattva should train in the profound perfection of wisdom. Then the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and said to the bodhisattva mahasattva, Noble Avalokiteshvara, that he has spoken well. Well done, O son of the lineage, it is so. O son of the lineage, since it is just so, the profound perfection of wisdom should be practiced just as you have taught, and the Sattvagatas will also rejoice. When the Blessed One has said this, the Venerable Sharivati Putra, the Noble Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, and the entire gathering, as well as worldly beings, gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas, rejoiced and praised the words of the Blessed One.
Thank you. Tawa Dhaji Vaji Piva Dhinla Dhamba Nala Jaya Vriya Vriya Ajaan Jindo Jaya Vajyan Bodhya Vriya 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 Jesu, Vajina jihe chubi kala chibi tinti ni Yata zambi diji divala Nyi chiche chapa uto si Uro jana mandira kani yataya mi Sanju chichu na laha, Sanju pandu dami chasu si, Saki jinti jibi sanati, Lala pinchi sanji lupa hu, Sanji chidam su chichu na laha, Sanju pandu dami chasu si, Saki jinti jibi sanati, Pinji Sanji Lupa Su Soji Juna La Chanchu Bhag Dhani Chasu Chin Dagi Yinsu Sana Chi Vamsa Pinji Sanji Lupa Su
So we spoke about those six perfections, and so the six perfections are the stages, again it is stages to the path to enlightenment. And to gain the state of enlightenment, we need to go through the path, which is stage by stage in a systematic order. It is not that we can't really, you know, engage in certain practices and gain achievement of enlightenment will not take place randomly. So there is a stages to the path. And then again, speaking about achievement of enlightenment is not someone who is actually, you know, transiting from one place to another. This is not the idea of gaining the state of enlightenment. So here, what we meant by gaining the state of enlightenment is to really, we are really talking about purification of our mind. And it is through the pacifying or eliminating all those negative thoughts and emotions, or in other words, the delusions or the kalisha. And it is through the pacification of all those delusions with their imprints, one will then be able to gain the state of enlightenment.
다 헤네싱에 데 간다데잖아 다 벨로데 나죽이 센데 다한다 비네 센데 벨 유지 벨 템부 시데 파네 데 라던 다 베데 파 군주 텐데 네 투켄데 근데 헤네싱에 데 도무리 헤네데 다 가징한 좀 뭐게 제자 제적 어디 제니 헤네싱에 소소 센데 롤파 헤와지 차부드는 데 뭐 헤와지 파네 투게 헤네스리 ねてやんぱんがじょくろでたんだちゆちでばてんでんでやじゅまじゅぱじゅつるたんだちたとろてへねせんげでとむろでぱろとんだわいのてるばてんねとげでへねせぐれたでりへねてたんあのてひぐるさとむずとねとべひろでたんがじょくじじっぺせんじゅぐのもかんがでぱねもかがげてかれぐちぐりでとまんまりぱせぐで そのランランのとばんぜんびろせんてらとまんまりばせおてげたはんたじぱとがんでねらとんにてきんがくれくがんだってげでねくそそランはらつとばきげんてむぐぱてなじんぜんぜんびろいんさてねくんじゃなんかそそちにげんらもてばてだちんだまだちねげんちょろだんげちょろかがてねじゅんぐろおてろてばねぽてんけんてら
So here, then, when speaking about gaining the state of enlightenment through elimination of all those delusions and mental afflictions, and for that, you know, the wisdom realizing emptiness is a crucial, because it is only through cultivation of wisdom realizing emptiness one will be able to cut the root of delusions, which is ignorance. So then here, to be able to gain the perfect realization of emptiness, one must first achieve what we call shamatha, which literally means calm abiding. So it is... what is meant by here, the calm abiding? And so calm abiding, again here, the practice of calm abiding is not something uncommon practice to the Buddhist Buddhism. In fact, this practice is shared by a lot of other different you know, religious traditions, such as Hinduism and Charvaka and so on. So what is unique to Buddhism is not only just to cultivate this, you know, calm abiding or the shamatha, but on that basis, which one gains the, you know, one cultivates what we call the wisdom that understands emptiness, understands the wisdom realizing, understands the ultimate nature of reality, which is then become a very unique practice of the, of Buddhism. And so here it says first one need to cultivate shamatha, and without proper cultivation of shamatha, it is not impossible for one to actually have a intuitive realizations of emptiness. And so without understanding of having a intuitive understanding of emptiness, and then it is not possible for one to actually eliminate all the delusions or the mental afflictions. so if we are unable to get rid of those mental afflictions, then let alone the complete state of enlightenment, will not even be able to achieve the wisdom, you know, liberations. So, because this, the root cause of all those negative thoughts and emotions are ignorance here, particularly referring to the self-grasping mind. Because when we speak about negative thoughts and emotions such as aggression or hatred, anger, jealousy, and so on and so forth, if we were to trace why we really cultivate, why we really generate those kind of negative thoughts and emotions, and if we were to trace back, and the root cause of all those negative thoughts and emotions will really, it is really rooted in the self-grasping mind. It is through the self-cherishing mind, because of the self-cherishing mind, then other negative thoughts and emotions such as anger, hatred, jealousy arises. So therefore, in order to tackle this root cause of all those negative thoughts and emotions, and we need to have a proper understanding in the beginning, have the understanding of emptiness through mediations. In other words, the conceptual understanding of emptiness. It is through this meditation on the conceptual understanding of emptiness will then eventually lead oneself to have an intuitive understanding of emptiness. So as we talked earlier about this, to reach this state of complete state of enlightenment, the reaching complete state of enlightenment has a systematic order, there are stages. The stages that one need to, one need to embark and on the path, and paths are all in again systematic order. It is not a random. And then through embarking on the systematic path, one will then gain the state of enlightenment. So here, when we talk about the systematic order, you're talking about the elimination of all those negative thoughts and emotions. In other words, afflictions, the gross level of afflictions, and the subtle level of afflictions. And as you progress your path, your spiritual path, then your spiritual path will become more powerful, and this not only become an antidote towards the gross level of negative thoughts and emotions, but also then this will become powerful enough to become an antidote towards the subtle level of delusions. And so then this is how one clears the obstacles to gain this state of enlightenment. So speaking about the obstacles or the delusions or the mental afflictions, there are two major obstacles to enlightenment. Well, the first is what we call the obstacles to liberation, and obstacles to obstacles to omniscience. So there are two different kinds of obstacles. So then, once this, both those obstacles must be eradicated through the cultivation of wisdom realizing emptiness. And so again, there's this first obstacle, which is obstacle to liberations, is can be eradicated by means of wisdom realizing emptiness alone. But the second obstacle, which is the obstacle to omniscience, so it's not as it's just adequate to having a cultivate wisdom realizing emptiness, but rather one needs to cultivate bodhicitta. And bodhicitta and the other six perfections, the other perfections that we talked about, such as perfection of generosity, perfection of morality, and perfection of patience and effort and so on, all of those must become a cooperative condition, and it must become a favorable condition for gaining the state of enlightenment. It's those practice of perfections, generosity, morality, and so on, must go hand in hand with the wisdom realizing emptiness. Will then become effective, the antidote, effective antidote towards the obstacle to omniscience. So whether once one is able to apply an application of the antidote towards obstacle to omniscience is dependent upon whether or not one's understanding of ultimate nature of reality is conjoined with the bodhicitta. So without conjoining one's wisdom that is emptiness with the bodhicitta, then one will not be able to eradicate the obstacle to omniscience.
Andar an to da kiro ni gun do mun de cha de lo to da la ta jang ju sen de yin so pha chin tu bu yin so pha chin tu bu ji ye ni kiro da la tu ni tu bi kiro de ji ta te yin so pha chin tu gu no ne de de ga na sa de ge sen yi cha de ngan de de bi ga da de ge ani sa ji yin so pha chin tu de de gu an la ya sa de tang bu ge hai khan sande tambu ni ba ge sen de ngaju ju lo ma ja ja ta gure ya gi tambu de sande tambu gi ni ni ge ge sen de ngaju ma ung ma de so 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 sen de pa zu ju to de sande tambu ge sen ya zo ya gu zu gure de ku ga ja ge han de ni sande tambu ge mu ge to ju na lo de yu de ba ce ki de ne tu ke o de na de gu re de sen de ra pa yin de ge sen tambu ne mo tu de gu re
so so here, all those practices of the perfections, the five perfections, such as generosity to the concentrations, are said to be the method aspect. It belongs to the method aspect. And then the last perfection, the practice of perfection, which is wisdom, our perfection of wisdom, belongs to the wisdom aspect. And so here, in order to perfect the fifth perfection, which is the perfection of concentration, then one need to train one's mind and culminate one's mind into the nature of what we call the first concentrative, the state of first concentrative the state of being. In other words, it is a the you know the, because with this the mind with the desire realms, the mind that belongs to the desire realms, without purifying the mind of the desire realms, one will not be able to cultivate this the shamatha. In order to cultivate the perfect shamatha, one need to purify one's mind in the nature of what we call the first concentrative, in the first stage of concentrative meditation, meditations. So it is through this then one will able to cultivate a perfect shamatha or the calm abiding, and then with this then one will able to meditate and place one's mind to the to the chosen object of meditations for as long as you want, but there's no sense of exhaustions, or there's no tiredness and so on. So you will have you can set your mind on the chosen object for as long as you want.
So this
the path to state of enlightenment, the path to the state of enlightenment must be as we talked about earlier, as a as a stages, and so if you look at the text that you will find the five paths or the five bhumis. And the path of accumulation, path of preparation, path of seeing, path of meditation, and path of normal learning. And it is through this progressive cultivation of this progressive path, one will then be able to gain the state of enlightenment. So all of this paths are actually becoming an antidote towards a particular delusions, or the antidote towards particular mental afflictions. So here, during the when the individual in the stage of path of accumulation, it's on the path of preparations. And though those practitioners or the beings cultivated wisdom, realizing emptiness, but their wisdom, realizing emptiness is a conceptual, you know, conceptual understanding of wisdom, realizing emptiness. So therefore, it will not become a direct antidote towards delusions or direct antidote towards negative thoughts and emotions. And it is through our prolonged meditations upon the conceptual understanding of emptiness will then eventually, you know, culminate into the direct realization of emptiness. It is when one gains the direct realization, direct realization of emptiness, then one will cultivate what we call thonglam, which is the path of seeing. And once you have cultivated the path of seeing, then you have become the Arya beings or the superior beings in a pakwa in Tibetan term, which means superior than the ordinary beings, superior to the ordinary beings. And then this superiority is not really made based on the physical, you know, appearance or the size of the person and so on, but rather the superiority is made based upon his or her inner realizations of emptiness. So once you have gained this direct realization of emptiness, then then this wisdom that understands the emptiness directly will then become a, you know, direct antidote towards the delusions or the mental afflictions.
Nare tulo demba ngosu tebulo ta de su pa chi tu ge to je ne pa chi tong tam ni yan ba chi tin zo ba chin ju se de kan pa chi du ba dagi ke dan sang ji sa ji ta de na si ne de na le de ke gu re ne ji bi pa chi na si ne zo ba su se ne de na ki jin sang ji gi na si ne tong kan de re se na nan da nan zo ha de ni de ke ki jin bi pa chi na ni jin bi tong bi tong se te ne sang ji pa bi ji che yan ba tong bi tu se de tam Then Nagi Yadia to the Nasal and said, Nagi is at him. Then do the Jena, Jim Takanan, I came to the Yena Jambaton, the Jim Pachin, and do the Jena, and Tessin, and she did Tuni Mosun to Tunas and the Tuns and Kan Dambang Mosun to Tamu to the Tunas, and the more she Tuni Tunaya hardly take his out there, little one. Gulan do jita bu tinge zeng, sengen gulan do lako goche ne gulan do jita bu tinge zeng, sengen dike, ene togi kiri nomo tamo tabo de lungu ne jitu gu, kungu ne tim. Gulan do jita bu tinge zeng, tuni ngusu tu bula tim. Te ting, tuni tu bungu ne dala, kye ne, ene kungu tuni ngu ne bata zanegi sa, ne ma pa zongon tante, ene sa ji sen, teni gen sa ya ji sa, ta dana ji sa ji gu sa, ta le shtika de tindi sunda jiri.
So all of this practice of generosity, morality, and so on are actually become antidotes towards delusions, because it is through the practice of perfections one is able to eliminate what we call the negative thoughts and emotions of what we call miserliness, and then practice of morality will refrain oneself from engaging in negative deeds. and so on. So all of those practices are actually becoming its own, you know, functions of getting rid of the negative thoughts and emotions. However, those practices will not really become a direct antidote towards what we call the ignorance, which is the root cause of our, you know, root cause of cyclic existence. And so it is, you know, through those, you know, progressive practice, as we spoke about earlier, one will then be able to gain the state of what we call the path of seeing. One will reach the state of path of seeing. Once you have reached the path of seeing, able to gain the state of path of seeing, then from that onwards, then one is actually actively, you know, engaging in the practice of elimination of delusions or the root cause of negative thoughts and emotions such as ignorance. And it is through this practice one will then, this path of seeing will then eventually come into the path of meditations. And then once, through the practice on the path of meditations, the prolonged practice of path of meditation will then finally will culminate. This path of meditation will be then culminate into the what we call path of meditation of Vajra-like concentrations, and then this Vajra-like concentrations will then become a very forceful antidote. Not only this has a, you know, power to overcome those delusions, but all their imprints will be eradicated by means of cultivation of this Vajra-like meditative concentrations. And then it is just next moment of generation of this Vajra-like concentrations will then come into oneself into the state of enlightenment. So this is a very rough explanation of, you know, or the very abbreviate in explanation of how the path of accumulations lead to path of preparations, then path of seeing, then path of meditations, and then path of normal learnings. So, all of those great beings, the enlightened beings, such as Buddha Shakyamuni and so on, have gained the state of enlightenment through this practice of this progressive path, the spiritual path. So, Buddha Shakyamuni was not the enlightened being. He was not enlightened person primarily. So he was like us. You know, we are all, you know, once, you know, we are all same sentient beings. Buddha Shakyamuni was the same sentient being, ordinary beings like ourselves, who is actually controlled by the negative thoughts and emotions, in other words, delusions and the karma and so on. It is through his realizations, his spiritual realizations, will then distinguish him from the ordinary beings, becoming a state of enlightenment. So if we still remain, you know, unaware of, you know, eradicating those negative thoughts and emotions or delusions, and there are still countless eons that we will undergo this kind of sufferings and taking rebirth within this secular existence, unable to free oneself from this, you know, the boundary of unenlightened existence.
Then Kaju Song, I did the singing, tend to chrome, not Jabuji, and the Wangu, so Simosi, Tangi, tend to Sanji, and Sanji said to Corridors, and the Kuno Dija Loma, my cheat and Allah, Sitchin, Rig, Tendulo, Tuba, Rigitin, Painting Beauty. Sitchin, Tan, Sanji Taman, Sitchin Taman, but not painting, Tuba, Rigitin, Tichidulo. And it's my chisun, you are cool, Chikari, Tiba Chim Chim Chikari, and I'm going to contribute in a cool pen to go to the China. So, the next one is the same thing.
So, the main purpose of gaining the state of enlightenment, it is to benefit other sentient beings. This is through this cultivation of this altruistic intention or the bodhicitta, one becomes what we call the Mahayana practitioners. And it is this altruistic intention will enable one to gain the state of enlightenment, just like Buddha Shakyamuni. So Buddha Shakyamuni, his purpose of enlightenment, gaining the state of enlightenment, is not just to, you know, to free himself from the suffering nature of secular existence, but all other sentient beings, to free all other sentient beings from this suffering nature of cyclic existence. Buddha Shakyamuni then undertook all those practices of all the practices that we talked about earlier, about this path of accumulation, path of preparation, and so on and so forth. We then gain the state of enlightenment. So it is through the gaining of state of enlightenment, one will then be able to repay the kindness of all mother sentient beings. Though we may be able to repay their kindness, the kindness of mother sentient beings, even when one is on the path to state of enlightenment, but the actual repaying the kindness will happen only when one gains the state of enlightenment. It is because when we talk about repaying the kindness of other sentient beings, mother sentient being is to free themselves, free all the sentient beings from the sufferings. That is the ultimate, repaying the kindness and repaying kindness of all other mother sentient beings. So in order to do that, and one must first show them a path to overcome all those negative thoughts and emotions or the delusions, and showing them appropriately how to be on the path through one's own experience. And one must have a proper understanding of what kind of teachings or the practice that is suited for the individuals. And so therefore, when the Buddha teaches, when the Buddha gave the teachings, Buddha has given the teachings in many different ways, and many different philosophical viewpoint. It is not just Buddha's, Buddha had given these teachings based on someone whom he like and someone whom he dislike. It is based on his own understanding of what kind of teachings are more suited for the individuals and so on. So without gaining this enlightenment, we will not be able to have the ability to understand the mental inclinations or the spiritual, mental disposition and spiritual inclination of the individuals. So without then understanding the mental inclination and spiritual inclinations and the mental disposition of the individual, then one will not be able to give them appropriate teachings of the Dharma. So therefore, it is only gains once complete state of gaining the complete state of enlightenment will then enables one to actually repay the actual repaying the kindness of all Mother sentient beings. So, for instance, according to the sutra, when the Buddha gave teachings at the Vulture Peak in Rajgir, and at the same time, Buddha has emanated in a different form and he has given the teachings in a different place. So this is how the enlightened beings can emanate their body in an innumerable, way to help sentient beings. So though Buddha has led countless sentient beings to the state of enlightenment through his teachings and through his emanation bodies and so on and so forth, so we have left behind and we haven't been able to participate in the teachings of the Buddha at that time is because of our negative karma. So we're unable to take a rebirth and to be able to become a direct disciples of the Buddha. So therefore, we have left. We are still struggling within this unenlightened existence.
Oh, then,
So then here we as the practitioners, followers of the Buddha's footsteps, and the main here, practice for us is to develop our mind, to modify our mind on the day-to-day basis. Try your best to train your mind. And, regardless of how much teachings that you may have received and how much, the advices, the spiritual advices that you have received from your spiritual teacher and so on and so forth, if one's mind remained as it is, with no change, then there's no development. There's no, you will not be able to gain any kind of realizations. So here, as the practitioners, whenever we remember that we just try our best to modify our mind, in other words, to shape one's mind. This is the, core teachings of the Buddha, to developing one's mind, modifying one's mind on the day-to-day basis.
So tūla tā tūni sēng tā kīchibu yin sē gā tēndā tā kārī rā sā nā nā ngā ndā gā jū jū thumā mārī pā tā mē tī wā kāngā jū jū thumā mārī pā tērē nā mārī pā tērē kāndā sā nā kū rā gā ngū nī ngā ndā jī nā sā tā chibu jā ngā nā tēndā chibu jū sā sā tū nā kārī jī nā mā jū tī wā tā nā mā yī rā ngū nī chū tū pā kī nā tūni sēng tā kī kūn jā nā kī mā yī pā tū kī ngā tū nā tūni tū pī lō sī kī rī Kinjana came away, but don't any Jason that can run the Chana Ungamari, then keeping Jay and then Janamai, but Chibana, he told him good. And then the day to be Lotte, and then Rang in the Madu, but to be Lotte, and Rang in the Tubandi Lotte, at the old Nepote, and then I give up, I get a tail of Trojan, and the woods in the Andrea is at it.
So it is right from the beginning of one's practice, you know. Beginning of one's day in the morning, and make sure that you first, it's very important to shape our mind, our motivation. So if one is able to, you know, shape one's mind or motivations right from the beginning of one's day, then one will be able to maintain those virtuous state of mind throughout the day. So the most important part is, you know, in the morning, one must not, you know, refrain one's, one must not make sure that your mind do not get distracted right from the beginning of one's day. And so then one tries to, once you have then cultivated appropriate motivations, one then, engage in the practice, one's daily practice, whatever the practices one do. And so when one is doing this practice again here, you know, well, one must, you know, not think about that just because of this particular practice that I will gain something. So this will then, if you have this kind of motivation, if this kind of mentality within yourself, then it will become a very much like a goal-oriented. So this will then if one is unable to see any kind of change within yourself, then you will get frustrated, and then you will not be able to continue to onto your spiritual practice. So when you are engaging in the spiritual practice, the important here is to, regardless of what, how long it's going to take, you know, regardless of the time, whether it takes the eons and eons, I will do, and I will continue to my practice by, you know, modifying my mind and, you know, developing my mind and, you know, transforming my mind from negative to positive and so on. So this is very important, because sometimes when we engage in the practice and we kind of become a really goal-oriented, and then when we see no change and there's no any kind of spiritual realization that one have gained at the time, then one really, you know, becomes so frustrated, and then one, then this will then become also, will really discourage, you know, one's spiritual practice. So therefore, one must not really become a really goal-oriented. And so, so then, once you have, you know, once you're actually embarking upon one's practice, one will actually engaging in one's practice, and it is very important that from the beginning, you know, making sure that your practice is, you're actually engaging in the practice is based on taking refuge in three jewels. This is very important, because then if one's, you know, practices is again devoid of taking refuge in three jewels, and then it is through cultivating of more, you know, positive motivations, there might be a little benefit, but the benefit will be very limited. So therefore, making sure that your practice, you know, whatever the practices you do, you know, right from the beginning of your day, even saying at once, you know, word of mantra and so on, those are all based upon taking refuge in three jewels.
ordinary. What the mother there were that he would pen a don't you send up with your gungi in a mahi singing the test of the gungu to sing it under mahi tender tender. Then under mahi area, mother second time you like mine with a good thing you would mahi tender tenders in the gungu. Mother child of Tama means that the mahi tender and then I think you. And it is a wound with and that carriage is the second time you mind by the pine by Kina carriping it is. And the answer tandology is also sending a papa, Naman's natural jig, yardage, patrology, in Mariaji. The second time you mama, he, papa, mama, he with and that the wound derva. Kina can get you by you. What the name is Lodia Kun, those are so good.
So then once you have your practices based upon the technical efficient schedules, then making sure that your motivation is, you have, you know, again, this is then done on the basis of developing bodhicitta, in other words. So then whenever we engage in the practice, we normally start from the recitation of the refuge formula, which is I take refuge in schedules, and until I gain state of enlightenment, which is the refuge part, and then from by the merit of forgiving and so forth, may I gain the state of enlightenment for the benefit of all of the sages, which is two lines referring to the development of bodhicitta. When you're engaging in those, when you're actually reciting those formula, and first making sure that you're taking proper refuge in rituals. And then next, when you you know, when you're reciting the second two, the next two verses, then making sure that you're actually you know, you're trying your best to actually be cultivate bodhicitta within oneself. And that too is try briefly to think about 7 points, you know, cause and effect of bodhicitta, the development of bodhicitta, and then equalizing and exchanging self with others. So those, you know, try to briefly, you know, in other words, you can scan through, you know, try to think about this briefly. And this is, then this will really, you know, help us to strengthen our practice.
Then,
so the practice of the Dharma is the transforming one's mind, or the, you know, transforming one's mind from negative to positive. This is all about Dharma practice. And so right from the beginning of one's day in the morning, when we take refuge, I take refuge in Guru, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and think about all those great beings in the past who have gained either the state of enlightenment or the bodhisattva's path, or the, who are on the state of bodhisattva's bhumi or the bodhisattva's ground, and all of them have gained those spiritual realizations, those heightened states. It is because of their, you know, changing or the developing their mind or the training their mind. So therefore, you know, may I too, you know, follow their footsteps by changing my mind step by step, bit by bit, and to gain the, you know, accomplished by the great beings and so on. So if we really know how to practice Dharma, and then every actions, our day-to-day actions, body, speech and mind, even one's circle of breathing and respirations can become virtuous, you know, the actions. So, in other words, it is through this kind of practice, and there's actually no room for, you know, a arisal of any negative thoughts and emotions, because all of your body, speech, and mind are completely in this virtuous state. And for instance, one's bodily actions, the virtuous state of one's bodily actions, virtuous state of one's speech, in other words, you know, reciting the mantras and verses and so on. And then virtuous state, the most important is virtuous state of mind, which is cultivation of altruistic intention. And so if one, you know, it is best that if we are able to cultivate a motivation to of benefiting all other sentient beings at all the time. But if that is not a possible, then one must always have a motivation that at least that I'll refrain from harming other beings. And this is what we call the virtuous state of minds. And then if one is the tantric practitioners, which Kishla has mentioned, then even one's breathing in and out can be a mantra. It can be a rhythm of not just, you know, clean respiration, it's kind of normal respiration, but your respiration will be able to visualize in the rhythm of mantras and so on. In which case, that there's no actually room, there's no opportunity for the delusion to come and delusion to take place. And so this is how we actually put every effort, this is how we make ourselves, all our body, speech, and mind, into the virtuous state. So then visualizing, you know, the Buddhas or the one's guru, such as His Holiness the Dalai Lama and so on. And if one has a picture, then one think about, that's the Buddha's picture, the Buddha's image, or the one's guru's image, not just as a depiction, but rather it's think about us as a real person. Real person, the guru as a real person, or the Buddha as a real person, and right there and witnessing your practice and so on. And so then think about that wherever you go and whatever, you know, the actions that one may undertake, I think that's the Buddha's or the guru's, either in a crown of one's head or at one's heart. If one is a tantric practitioner, one could visualize at one's heart. And if not, then one can visualize gurus and Buddha at one's crown of one's head. And if one is able to maintain this kind of practice, then whenever you are, you know, about to engage in negative actions, either body negative action through body or speech and so on, then this will really, you know, by this practice of visualizing guru on the one's crown and or one's heart, will really refrain from engaging in those negative actions. And so then think about all those, you know, the texts that you have, you know, some of you may have like Lambrim texts, or some of you may have, you know, any kind of texts that are written by the great beings, the great pandits and Buddhas and so on, sutras. And thinking about, you know, one must consider them as a dual dharma, because all the contents within the Buddhist texts, particularly the Mahayana Buddhist texts, are we cannot find the Mahayana Buddhist texts without any contents of wisdom, reality, emptiness, and bodhicitta, which is the core practice of all the Buddhist practitioners. And so therefore, it is a worthwhile for us to actually consider those, you know, sutras and then, you know, the texts written by the great pandits and so on as a dual dharma.
Then I want to do teaching in the galleries and send it to Chamanik, Chamalo, Pemaji, the age of digital. And then I said, you want to that charm of double singing, like a D, Shaggy Hawk, and another son of the Legi Shag to send up his own. And then, conscious of John the Jane, if I'm going to judge your centenary and see the judging Matan Karikin and Dangai, the running tunnel, children in the
So then it is again important to, you know, reflect one's mind upon the impermanent nature of things and events, and particularly of one's own life. And so, because this, the, you know, the, in other words, one's death, the impermanent, referring to the one's life here, referring to the death. Because the death is sudden, and arisal is uncertain. So think about the certainty of the death, and then reflect one's mind upon the uncertainty of the arisal, the time of the death. You know, you may be very healthy, sound, you know, today, but we can't really, you know, guarantee ourselves that we will be alive tomorrow morning, even after an hour. So it is a matter of breathing in and out. And if you breathe out, and if you breathe in, and if you're unable to breathe out, then that's it. And it is the ultimate journey that we're actually facing. So reflecting one's mind upon that, you know, if when I am alive right now with all those capacities that I must put forth, all my, you know, energy and efforts to engage in the practice, because if I'm without engaging in those practices, if the death arises tonight, and how tragic it will be. Not only just you're losing your this, you know, precious life, but also you are unable to engage in any practices that you should have taken in the earlier. So this is, you know, very again, in the most of those texts that if you look at the stages of the Path to Enlightenment and the Lamrim and the perfection of the Guru's speech in the Nyingma Lamrim and so on, all those texts regarding different, you know, religious tradition or in the Tibetan Buddhism, such as Gelug and Nyingma Kagyu's, and all of those have the same emphasis on the reflection, importance of reflection upon the impermanent nature of one's life. This is again, it is a one, you know, very important fuel for actually engaging in practice of the Dharma.
Dipa jingye jingye na, nawa ato tundu su tanda jita sando kiri. O tak dipa ma jiye, gyawa jiye, gyawa jiye, chu jiye na, yapu hibu yore, sati tanda teri, ta zuwa nda de. Nandu tsende dan, chema nga hibu, tsende dipa hibu, jiye sando kiri, ta zung deyaji na, dolo denji, jeju kuchu jingye, jaga nye, deka kanyi yama, kura yama. Gyawa chema nga, nipa tsende, gyawa chema nga, jine ju, jine ju, jine kono, ya sanji da, dragi mu kubana ji, mato ji, patu, those chindoyari mother media yomare. And the Joala Toma Missigot in that area. Good album, then I did two one, then I didn't want to say yomar, Joala Toma Yomari. Toma, about two women, dread, Toma, about degrees, what disagree?
So, the reflection upon the impermanent nature of one's life is you're actually preparing for your death. Right? So, you're actually accepting death very comfortably. So, if one really neglects reflection upon the death, because there are many, in fact, most of the people, if we talk about one's death, then people will become unhappy with it, right? They don't even hear about that. They just want to ignore at that part, which actually creates more fear and, you know, anxiety within their mind without just neglecting. Just so, because the death is sudden, it is better for us to prepare right from now. So the important point here is to not only just you are accepting death, but you are preparing for it. You know, how to really, you know, when this time arises, and how can one really embark on that particular path very comfortably. So this is the rehearsal. You know, we are just, you know, it's kind of a rehearsal for one's death. And if one really engages in those practices on one's day-to-day life, and then when those time arises, and you will have no fear. You will face those situations very comfortably in a very peaceful manner. So this is, one of the result of Dharma practice. And so it says, when one engages in the practice of visualizing Guru on the crown of one's head or one's day-to-day life, and this practice will be very, familiar with yourself. And when the death arises, and this practice will remain within us. And we will always remember this practice. And it is said that at the time of one's death, one is able to then visualize other Buddhas, Buddha Shakyamuni's image, or Buddhas, or the one's own guru at one's heart or one's crown of one's head. And then it says, it is very certain that such an individual will have a positive rebirth, at least a positive rebirth in his or her future, next life. So whenever, you know, we engage in the practice, the one thing that is very important to make sure is to one's practice is to always one's the purpose of one's practice is to actually to have a combat with one's, in other words, have a war or a battle with one's negative state of mind. This is our practice. This is the practice, you know, the essence of our practice. This is the meaning of our practice. This is the purpose of practice. So, because your practice, such as whenever we engage in the Dharma practice, one's practice will be either one's practice belongs to the wisdom aspect or the other that belongs to the method aspects. Whichever these two, both of these two practices are actually, becoming a fighter. In other words, the army of, that is actually preparing a war with one's negative state of mind. This is what we need to remember all the time. Kishla is saying if you would like to ask questions, so we'll deal with the questions and answer.
I do have a question, Kishla. Given the fact that we're talking about the stages that will allow us to achieve enlightenment in some lifetime, I'm curious about the life of Shakyamuni Buddha. And I'm aware that until he sat under the Bodhi tree, I don't know that much, but that he studied for, 4 years with Hindu ascetics. And I'm wondering about what he learned during that period of time and whether there was a causal effect from those years and those studies on his capacity to achieve enlightenment.
There is a moral on it. Jodi, that again and the answer chick sang yellia, nichik pe lam barim chin to watch, that and the team as a tolum, kaza, tolum, jolum, tolum, gomlum, yadu, sumber was. The lam tachik rimbaji yadu, janichik sang yazi, sumber was. That then a sang yay, shaget of Chajavina, tachik sang yay, tanganzo, yondalia, sang yay. Chamden de Kurong Sanje Alia, Tatiga and the Tingelia, Kuranda Mudevi and the Church, Jigger Dunzugi, Chick, Tumbi Kent of Congratulations. Tumbi Kent of Congratulations.
Tangan
de Mudibichi, the Church, and the Mangunam was
Amanada, did you go to Jan Gay?
So in this here, when we speak about the particular Buddha, the Buddha's life, the state of enlightenment, the gaining state of enlightenment for the Buddha, Buddha Shakyamuni particularly, and so there's two ways of explanation that we find. One is what is we call the Buddha has gained the state of enlightenment undertaking practice of, you know, the solitary, you know, meditation practice, concentration for 6 years under the Bodhi tree, and then gained the state of enlightenment. And this is what we call for the common appearance or the common, you know, explanation, or it is also called the interpretive explanation. Interpretive. So for the uncommon, disciples and so on, Buddha have gained this state of enlightenment way back, like, you know, even way back, so, you know, who has gained the state of enlightenment and so on. So yes, you know, regarding as to the question of the practice of ascetic practice with the Hinduism and so on. Yes, of course, those practices have become a favorable condition for his understanding of ultimate nature of reality. Because in the Hinduism, practice of Hinduism, there are many, and there's very, you know, strong emphasis on the passive practice of single pointed concentrations, in other words, shamatha. And shamatha is again one of the core practice of the Hindu practitioners. And so it is this, you know, understanding of practice of such as, you know, gaining this shamatha and so on, suddenly this becomes a very favorable condition for the development of his own understanding of what is meant by ultimate nature of reality. So he was not really satisfied with those, you know, teachings and the practice. Is he was still looking for the truth. You know, though he has gained all the spiritual realizations under the guidance of the Hindu practitioners or the ascetic, you know, masters, but he was not really satisfied still in terms of finding the truth. And it is through his own development of the wisdom that enables him to have a correct realizations, or in other words, appropriate realizations of things in event. In other words, appropriate realization of ultimate nature of reality. So this, yes, of course, there are many things that he had learned from the ascetic masters, like the Hinduism, suddenly became a really favorable condition for his development of the path that leads himself to the state of enlightenment.
I have a question here about great treatise on the path to enlightenment. Is that different from the lamp to enlightenment, or is there two different books? And is it Akisha that wrote it?
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, the lamp or path to enlightenment, and difference, you mean?
He wants to know if
there's
a, if the lamb room is different from Akisha.
Oh, okay, I got it. Okay. Is that right? Okay. The lamrim churwa. Changchu lamrim da the dan da de lo to so lamrim ye keba kar yo re so.
Lamrim ji ja kai.
Lamrim da changchu lamrim le keba kar yo re so.
Lamrim le sangji sang di sang langa den yi ro.
Lamrim changchu lamrim ye ba.
Changchu lamrim kar le.
Changchu lamrim dan de pa dan da lamrim zao ko changchu lamrim cha.
Ma le ni ji ba le. Ti ji di che ba ro wa. Nadia is a jeepu, Madidi, Tenda, do Mansun Shireman. The Johnson only two didn't take Jap Hatin, Melba Quich, the Dijakaki, Didijina, Dinduguro, Dijaki, Dinduguran, by Jap Hatini, Chelsea, and the Rock. The Natchiver.
There's a the path to enlightenment, you know, the stages to the path to enlightenment or the Lamrim is actually composed by Lama Tsongkhapa, which is actually a commentary to the Lamp or Path to Enlightenment by the Aditya. So if you look at the text, actual text of the Lamp or Path to Enlightenment, it is very little. You know, there are, I don't know about the books, but Kishla is talking about the page. We have maybe 7-8 pages. Yeah. That's all. And so this is, the Lamrim is actually, you know, the commentary of the, you know, of the part, Lamp of Path to Enlightenment, Adisha. So, in other words, the part in the Lamp of Path to Enlightenment become an actual root text. The Lamrim is actually rooted in the part, Lamp of Path to Enlightenment. Okay. Again, the chill me that was some time that the Sumurwa. The Dinzolia, the Chicksosolia, the chill me that was on the Mida was some time, Mixa chill me that was some time, so somebody in Lambrashke, Kigur was. The Dimigay Polia, any contest chill me that will contest Tangurus, Lambda, that Jinami or
Jinamusuna. Chasing in a dominant injury is unchaired the pain, caripins, and the Giovacian. Chichigo, chair dunitel, Napa Napa, the Giovacian Gura, taking each other.
So it's again here, you know, just reflecting one's mind or just remembering the death alone is not adequate, right? In fact, if you just think about the death every day, it really is depressing. But rather, we need to think about how to really, you know, make this that purposeful and meaningful. That is the main question here, is to practicing Dharma, and maintaining one's mind in this virtuous state. And if you are actually engaging in the proper practice of the Dharma, then the reflection of this death, impermanent nature of one's life, will really become a driving force for, you know, furthering one's practice in Dharma.
I have a question on when you're reflecting on the future life and the suffering of the hell realms. Now, in order to gain the full effect of that, do you have to accept the hell realms as literal, or is it metaphorical? But if you accept it as metaphorical, are you going to achieve the same cause and effect as you would if you didn't accept it as metaphorical?
Sometimes you're a church world western that is the energy newe dungelia samishta ani dundre dungelia samishta de jeon de ani chul chelia da chuzo kumal cha goras
o te kumal ya
kumal cha goras ta newe dungel samda no ga nyawa se de nyawa sing de ngone bchire be ku jeden bchire
te ngone ba ro nyawan ba ki ku dwa sa yi chon ni ba zin nyawan do ni te ngone ba re Nasi gawat je, dibat je, itu tu nak buat ni ala ala, sendiri lah. Tapi saya ni mesti zin macam siapa.
So, speaking about the hell realms and the suffering of hell beings and so on, we're not. It is not just a metaphor. It really happens to us. We have gone through that experience countless times. We have taken rebirth within the hell realm for many, many times. And so again here, Krishna is speaking that when we speak about the hell realms, we shouldn't think about something that is very far away, in a millions and millions of miles far away from us. It is within us. Hell is, you know, within us always. It is like when you have a dream and you create your own world. There's a dream state that you have you actually create that. Your dream will create your head, and you undergo tremendous amount of suffering within that, you know, in that particular dream, the length of your whatever the dream that you had, and you have your own life there, and you create your own, environment within this, whether you experience happiness or you experience suffering. And similarly, when we speak about the taking rebirth in hell realms, you know, right after one's death, some individuals will take a rebirth directly. When a very brief, existence in the further realms, but you will just right away, you will be falling into a hell realms. It was because of the intensity of one's negative karma and so on. So then you actually create your own environment right there, whatever the form that you may be, whatever the realm of hell that you may be in, within a cold hell realms or the hot hell realms and so on. And you will create your own environment. It's because of your karma. It is already there. It's right here. Yeah. You just...
If you're a bad person, you'll create the environment.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is how it happens. So it's not something that is like a metaphor, or we're just something that doesn't exist, and we're just talking about something that is non-existence. It happens to us. So we went through that kind of experience.
I'm wondering if it's not metaphorical, then it's going to have a bigger impact on your path. In order to the effects of it. In terms of you reaching, the stage of the mental health, there's going to be more of a momentum created if you accept it as real.
So good.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
No question. So I heard this book is called Ornament of Pure Knowledge. What is that?
Ornament of Pure Knowledge. Okay. Okay, I got it. Yeah, yes. Gandhi Yangye could page it goes on.
Wow.
Ornament of Gandhila was Gandhi. Pajing Mondo again, Lagumendo. Tenjum Mondo again, says it was. Tindachi was in our letter, Karagar, Shibuna, she said was at a court.
Ale.
Karagar was at dinner. Page Mondo again, says it from Gonyos.
Already,
Ordinalia, Karagar, you've been at some of the civil service.
You're
sure.
So
the ornament of clear realizations is also known as it is by Maitreya. It is, Buddha Maitreya. It is by Buddha Maitreya, and in which it's actually again. The contents of the actual contents of this ornament of clear realization is all this perfection, six perfections in other words, the perfections, and it's elaborate. It is a root text, and then you will find the commentaries. There are volumes and volumes of the commentaries to that.
I have a question. Regarding his teaching on the Vajra concentration, which is the force surrender to overcome your inner enemies or your afflictions or imprints, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, from the Sangha's teaching on the subtler levels of the added consciousness as opposed to six consciousness versus mind consciousness, he went into the subtle explanatory of the storehouse consciousness and the kleshas and the other, the immediate consciousness. My question was, is that because these forceful powers of the Vajra concentration, which is able to eliminate these negative qualities, was based on Majjhavika's view, because Majjhavika's view then was able to eliminate, they didn't acknowledge the seventh and sixth and seventh, or no, the seventh and eighth consciousnesses, because they didn't need to exist because the imprints were gone. By the time that they had arrived at a conclusion, they were able to eliminate the two other consciousnesses above just the mind. And so, and my question is then, is that why these body concentrations are so powerful? Because they're able to eliminate the self-understandings of the mind and how they are able to work towards this process of purifying and transforming and increasing our mental states. I guess that's the question.
I'm not sure whether I'm clear, but I'll try. Okay, sure. Yeah. Thank you. I'll try my best. But again, the Gela, Golam Dojita with things in Sumbrua. The Koran Golam Dojita with things in singing the Koran Sambalia, Yajik Parachil, Yajik Tobayo, Mendosum Chick, and go up there. The Golam Dojita with things in the part and the Kundalia Chavurua.
The Tamatama
Kundalia Chavurua.
Logan
Sambalia, Tati Paralia Chick Tobian, Sadam Winibani, Sadimba Gabot in the Tomahov Cherua.
The
Golam Dojita with things in the name of Dagara. Diranju liyasan enko pe tagaran pe chik shirip chik pe thamaliya ko nyengonye cheche enko shirip chamaliya ngonye cheche enko kolam dojito tinga di shirip thamaliya ni chik nyembo chaache enko ngonye che tagaran lepa zao chi duks yungo sare mendo samson enda chitain cha
kende
yina kende yinbe na sumru
hey marwa
en chik
taanyan duro lao saram daga yin di tam tinga di laa thada nne zan lao vandi amandipa.
So it is important to understand here when we speak about Kishle Singh, the Vajra meditative concentration is achieved at the end of Bodhisattva's Bhumi, at the very end of Bodhisattva's Bhumi, which is the last stage, and within that next moment you will be enlightened. So you have actually gone through all those, you know, Bhumis, the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. And all those bhumis, you have gone through that. And then finally, you will be in the Vajra concentrations, of meditation stage. And this is the final stage.
But there are such things as the 21 conscious, which are the bhumis above the 10 bhumis, as the conscious bhumis.
No. So right now we are completely, you know, it's important again to make sure that, you know, different classes. We are talking based on sutra system, right? Yeah. And so again, if you go through that, then that will be a different, you know, explanation again. Yeah.
Reached,
we're not,
How is it that the enhanced, more refined, or refined Vajra?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
You're asking about concentration states above the sixth level concentration state?
No, when he was saying that there was a finality, he was saying there's a finality state that once you became enlightened, you could be enlightened. And from a tantric view, you could take that level and say that there, you could split that into other higher, either refiner and higher levels, or you could see it all saying as one. That's how I would interpret it. But I guess it's a good explanation because it seems like that's why it's so powerful. That's why the shortcut or it's a dangerous path, but it's a path that actually, you know, it pushes you to become enlightened nine times, but in a shorter amount of time in your life. I mean, you can't even in one life.
This is going to help.
Should we say the dedication prayers? Page 23 in the bow offering at page 24 and the auspicious wishes on page 23.